We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Marika is such a good example. She says Thanksgiving is her favorite holiday to remember and be thankful for all the things God has done. I was thinking, like, man, I love Thanksgiving because of turkey, because of pecan pie, or for my southern people here, pecan pie, and pumpkin pie, and mashed potatoes, and stuffing. But I guess you're probably more on point with that, Marika. I want to commend all of you for being here tonight. Someone told me before the service that most churches that they drove by were pretty much had their lights off or weren't even having service tonight. And, you know, it's funny. Culture tells you, basically, that you shouldn't have church around holidays. I mean, last year, how many churches in the area didn't have service on Christmas because Christmas fell on a Sunday, or they moved their Sunday? Man, like, I mean, that's kind of sad. I mean, we're never going to shut down. I mean, if holidays fall on a Christmas service or on a Sunday service or on a Wednesday service, I mean, that's all the more reason to celebrate, right? So, anyway, don't get me worked up. Get myself worked up, I should say. But so, since it is Thanksgiving, and I thought I would do a Thanksgiving-themed message, I'm going to be preaching tonight against the spirit of gluttony. Just kidding. It comes upon me once a year, or actually, well, I should include Thanksgiving as well, or Christmas as well, but I'll bust out my stretchy pants tomorrow come dinner time, and I embrace that spirit full-heartedly. And pray for myself after the meal. Rebuke you, foul spirit. Is it all right if I have some fun here tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. No, so actually, the Lord gave me a great revelation on how, you know, Thanksgiving, our heritage, is very much like the heritage of Israel, and how the pilgrims that settled America were like the Israelites that settled Israel, and like the Native Americans were like the giants and the Canaanites, and the pilgrims had to come to America and destroy the giants and the Canaanites in the land. I'm just kidding. Kidding about that too. You guys are like, I'm just in one of those moods tonight, I guess, but just cooping around, all right? Just having some fun with you guys. And I figure it's like, you know, Thanksgiving Eve, I should be a little goofy with y'all, reward you for being here, you know. I'll skip my sermon on hell for tonight. No, but in all reality, this is the real message that I'm going to share tonight. I'm going to preach a message called The Power of Thanksgiving. Imagine that. Or you could say thankfulness. And there's five key areas that I want to talk about that thankfulness or thanksgiving will impact your life. Number one is your physical health. Number two is your emotional well-being. Number three is your faith. Number four is your Christian witness. And number five is your finances. So I'm going to go through those with you tonight. The first one that I mentioned is your health. So turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, "Now it happened as he went through Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were healed." All right, so these lepers, it says first that they stood afar off, right? So the reason being was when people had leprosy back then, they weren't allowed to be in public areas or near healthy people. They cordoned them off because it was a contagious disease, and the disease itself, it affected basically a person's entire body. It would affect their skin, and they would get bumps on their skin, and it would affect their nervous system, and it was really easy for them to catch diseases because they couldn't, their nerves would start to shut down. And so, like, you know, if you go to sleep and a rat is nibbling at your finger and you don't feel it, you're going to catch a disease from that. And there's just, you become very susceptible to other disease with this leprosy, the disease leprosy. So people, they really were disgusting looking and smelling. And all around when they had leprosy, their flesh would actually begin to rot right on their body. I mean, you'd be having an okay day and your nose would fall off. And then, like, you know, like the next day you're like, man, that was a bad day. And then your ear fell off and you think, like, man, can it get any worse? And your fingers fall off. So, I mean, I don't know if it was that extreme, but that's the way I kind of like picture it in my mind, you know? So, leprosy was a pretty gnarly disease, if you get what I'm saying. All right. Now, these lepers are sitting outside town. And they see Jesus coming, and they call on Jesus to have mercy on them. And Jesus tells them to go to the temple, to the priest, to do what they needed to do there, to present themselves before him. And when did they get healed? Were they healed? Let me ask you, were they healed right when Jesus told them to go to the temple? No, right? What does it say? It says that as they went, they were healed. So they weren't healed right when Jesus talked to them. They were healed as they went. Now this, for them, it took faith in order for them to obey Jesus. Jesus told them to go do something that they weren't supposed to do. Jesus told them to go present themselves before the priests. But they had leprosy, which meant that they weren't allowed to go present themselves before the priest. They weren't allowed to go in town. They weren't allowed to be around the public people or in the public. They had to be cordoned off into a section of town where only the lepers would be. And so for them to disobey the customs and the laws of their land, it took great faith just to think that, hey, if I do this, I could get myself in some serious trouble, because I'm disobeying the commands of our society, but this is what Jesus told me to do. So they were believing that as they obeyed the word of God, as they obeyed Jesus, that a miracle would happen. Don't you think, though, that it would have been easier for them to say or to think in their mind, well, Jesus, if my leprosy leaves me, then I'll have a reason to go present myself to the priest. If my situation changes, if I can see my situation change, then sure, Jesus, I can understand going to show myself to the priest. But I can smell my own stench right now. Look, here's my rotten finger, and it stinks. I can see that, like, I'm still all messed up. I stink. I look nasty. People don't want to be around me. Nothing has changed, Jesus. Why are you telling me to go to the priest? Right? Because it wasn't until they went. As they went, they were cleansed. They weren't just sitting there and Jesus came over and prayed for them and healed them and then said, now go present yourself. No, it was as they were going. So they had to pick their nasty carcass up off the ground and start moving towards the priest. And when they did that, that's when they were healed. Everybody wants to wait until they have their miracle to go to proclaim the miracle that they got. You know, we don't want to get ourselves out of our situation, and I mean, we don't want to proclaim or believe God that our situation has changed until we can see it, smell it, taste it, feel it, touch it, whatever. Right? But these guys did that. They did that. They were still in the exact same situation that they were before Jesus told them to go. But they got themselves up and they moved, and as they moved, they were cleansed, right? I mean, that's pretty powerful to me. Sometimes you just have to take God at his word and move and walk by faith. You might think to yourself, this makes no sense. I still feel pain. I still smell sick. I still sound sick. I still have all the symptoms. Maybe it's your finances. I'm still broke. I still don't have money to give, so on and so forth. I'm still in the same old crappy situation, but I have a word from God that says to go. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your situation? Or are you going to believe God's word? You have to learn to walk on the word that God gives you. Whether it's a spoken word directly to your heart, or whether it's just the word of God that says, by his stripes you were healed. Many of us, you know, we'll quote that. But we don't like to actually believe it and get up and live like it's true. If we actually believed it, then we would live like it. Amen? And you have to. You can't wait. Faith doesn't say, now that I've received my healing, I'll do what God's called me to do. No, I'm going to go do what God says do, whether my circumstances look like it lines up with that or not. And then as you do it, as they went, they received their miracle. So, where are we? Many people look at their circumstances, and because they're operating by their senses instead of by faith, they will never see the miracle happen. You can't stay in the realm of reason. The Bible says we walk by what? Not by what? Sight. So as long as you're walking by sight, no wonder you aren't seeing the miraculous happen. No wonder you aren't seeing your situation change. Don't wait for your situation to change to walk by faith. No, you walk by faith, not by sight. So they were all sick when they left the place where they were gathered. And that place, if you think about it, this place where those 10 guys were, they were put there specifically because that was like where the lepers got to hang out. We'll give you this worst part of town where all you nasty lepers can go hang out, and that'll be like your little leper hangout area, right? So like, you got to imagine, like, that's no one wants to come visit you when you're in the leper corner. No one's like thinking like, hey, let's go down and hang out with the lepers. We'll just see what they're up to, bring them some snacks or whatever. No, nobody wanted that job. Nobody wanted to go take care of those guys. I mean, you smell them like 50 yards off, like before you even get there, because their flesh is rotting on them. That's how nasty this disease was. And so the place that they were at, it was associated with sickness and disease. They were there banished to this terrible fate, basically. Just, I mean, there was no hope. There wasn't a medical cure for it. There was no bright future ahead of them. And they were in that horrible, nasty place. And then Jesus spoke to them in that place. In that horrible, nasty situation that they found themselves in, Jesus spoke to them in the place where they were at. And then they had to do something. They had to determine to be obedient to the voice of God, to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, to walk out of the place they were at. So it doesn't matter what maybe place you have associated with that is like that leper corner, whether it's a corner of poverty, whether it's a corner of depression, whether if there, maybe you don't have any of these issues, but if you have an issue and this is just like the place that you've been sentenced to, and you feel like, man, just nothing seems to go right in my life for all these reasons and blah, blah, you're sentenced to this horrible existence, you have to take faith and get up and walk out of that place that you've begun to associate your life with. Whatever the oppression of the devil is, have the faith to not stay in that place anymore, but get up and walk out of it. Amen? You don't have to stay bound. All right, so let's go on to verse 15. So far, none of this has to do with Thanksgiving, and I'm sure some of you are wondering why I read that to begin with, but it's about to, okay? Verse 15, and then we'll read down through verse 19. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said to him, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Does anyone have a King James Version Bible? It says, your faith has made you what? King James? Whole, right? Your faith has made you whole. Okay, we're going to come to that now. So let's look at this man that came back to thank Jesus and glorify God. You see, what was it that happens to people that have leprosy? Their limbs fall off, right? Their stuff falls off. They get all nasty, and like You can imagine just like their rotten flesh, like everything would just look disgusting about them, right? So what happened to the nine other guys that were with him? They were cleansed, right? They were healed, which means their disease, leprosy, left them. But something else happened to this guy. This guy came back and he worshiped Jesus and he thanked Jesus and he glorified God. And it says what? That he was made what? Whole. So that was a supernatural miracle that took place even after the disease left him. Because I think that this guy, this Samaritan, he was one of those gnarly looking dudes where his fingers had fallen off, his nose was falling off, his, you know, everything was just gross and dilapidated, and that's what happened with that disease. But he comes back to Jesus and thanks him, and he was made whole. So I believe that when it says that he was made whole, everything that had gone wrong with his body, he didn't just no longer have this disease anymore, but I believe that his fingers grew back, that his nose grew back, that his ears grew back, that anything that had happened to him because of that disease, any member of his body that he lost, I believe that he had a supernatural miracle right there and it grew back. Because Jesus said, none of those other jokers came back, but you came back, and because of that, your faith has made you whole, complete. When God says when God makes you whole and complete, he doesn't leave your fingers off, right? No, he fixes you right back up. Hallelujah. And that was the power of thankfulness, of thanksgiving. He came back to give God glory and to thank Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, why was this man so thankful? Personally, I believe it was because he was a foreigner. You see, he didn't deserve to be ministered to like the rest of those guys. The rest of the guys were Jews. And he was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't have anything to do with each other. The Samaritans were like half-breed Jews that, after they'd been invaded several hundred years before, they had integrated themselves with the Assyrians. And after that, they had basically like their own form of religion, and they did things their own way, and they were no longer strictly Jewish people. So the Jews basically considered them like dogs, and we're not going to have anything to do with you. So he is a Samaritan, and he's there, and he knows that I'm not supposed to have anything to do with these Jews. The nine other guys, they must have felt like entitled, like, yeah, this is what belongs to us. We deserve it. Healing is the children's bread. But that guy, I believe that he knew that he wasn't worthy of the miracle that he received, so he was thankful. He was grateful. He was like, man, I'm just a Samaritan. I know I'm not supposed to receive this, but I am so thankful that God loved me anyway. I don't deserve it, but I'm so thankful. And I don't know about you and me, but I didn't deserve to get saved. But Jesus saved me anyway. I was a sinner. I was the reason that Jesus was on the cross, but he died for me anyway. So I believe that we have to stay in that state where we don't feel entitled to think that, yeah, just because I'm a child of God, I deserve everything. Yes, you do. That's right. And those Jews, they were right. Those nine guys, they were right that they deserve to be healed. As a child of God, you and I, we deserve to be healed. We deserve to prosper. We deserve to be blessed. But we can never lose our thankfulness. We can never take for granted what God does for us. I can say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I better be healed. God, you better do your job and heal me. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. You're supposed to heal me. God, line up to your word. No, I am so thankful. Every time God touches me, when God heals me, when God heals my wife, when God heals my daughter, I am thankful for the miracle. And take that as a note, that when God does something for you, it doesn't mean that it's the end. It means that if you begin to glorify him for it and you thank him for it, he might put a cherry on top of the cake. Amen? Amen. I mean, healed was good, right? But being whole is better, right? I would take whole over healed any day. So give God praise, give God glory. Thank him. Amen? Secondly, thanksgiving will impact your emotional well-being. I want you to think about this. You can't be genuinely thankful and angry at the same time. Think about that. Now, you might be annoyed with your wife because she asked you to come help in the kitchen while you're watching your favorite show, right? Or, ladies, you might be mad at your husband or annoyed with your husband because he left the seat up at night and you fell in. Not that that's ever happened in my house. All right? But for whatever reason, you're angry. You're annoyed with your spouse. Now, the guy that got called up off the couch to help in the kitchen, and he's annoyed because he's missing his favorite show, he walks into the kitchen, and even though he comes in there annoyed, when he sees his wife has cooked his favorite meal for him, and it's all spread out and ready to go, and it's just perfect, it smells so good, looks so great, he becomes thankful, right? It's impossible to be angry while you're thankful. That the wife that took the midnight plunge in the toilet, she wakes up in the morning and she's going to let him have it. You left the seat up, blah, 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 blah. But instead, she finds breakfast there waiting for her in bed, and the kids are all taken care of. They're dressed, ready for school, and lunch is packed and all that. Do you think she's going to stay angry? No, she's going to become thankful. I'm telling you that thankful will affect your emotional well-being. You can't stay angry. You can't stay depressed. You can't stay whatever when you're thankful. So you got to get yourself thankful. Amen? Make yourself thankful. Don't let your situations determine your thankfulness. You can make yourself thankful. I'm going to tell you how. You don't wait for something to be thankful about. You just start thinking about good things. About a person, about your job, about anything that you like to complain about. Start thinking about the good things about it. David wrote this in Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. You know what David is saying here? He's saying, God, you've done so many good things for me, it would be impossible to number them all. What is he talking about? He's talking about being thankful and remembering all the good things that God has done for you. I promise you, you know, you'll be in some situation where you feel like this just stinks. I don't like it. I don't know why I'm going through it. But if you will force yourself to just go back and think about all the good things that God has done for you. How, you know, there's that song, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost. It just makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now you know why I'm not on the worship team. But, you know, that song's true. You start thinking about it. You start thinking about how good God is and how he took care of you, how he healed you, how he saved you. And you can't stay angry for very long when you just start thinking about the goodness of God. And that's what David was talking about. There's just so much goodness about God that I can't stay sad for very long. Hallelujah. It's no fun being sad, right? It's no fun being angry. It's no fun being anxious or depressed or any of that stuff. So just start thinking about the goodness of God and how he has saved you, how he's taken care of you, and it'll snap you right out of that. See, thankfulness will affect your mental well-being. So just make that a habit in your life. Actually, in Philippians chapter 4, it tells you what to think about. It says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, what things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, have good report, or praiseworthy, think on these things. The Bible doesn't even let you be creative. It just tells you exactly what to think about. You don't have to wonder, what should I think about? Is it good? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it true? Is it lovely? No, don't think about it. If it is, then think about it. Don't get your panties in a wad over stuff that's going on. Just think about the good things, the lovely things, the pure things. Amen? Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, actually, I guess we're going there anyway. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. I'll let you turn there. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I want you to read this with me. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, most people, when they read that first verse, they read it or they think of it. If they hear it, they hear it like this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Right? But that's not what it says. It says, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. It's not in there by accident. It wasn't just like, hey, maybe like this verse could be just like beefed up a little bit if we added some thanksgiving to it, right? No, it was in there for a specific reason. All right, now reading those verses, when do you get thankful? Do you get thankful when you make the request or when the request has been granted? Huh? When you make it, right? Why on earth would you get thankful when you're making the request if the request hasn't been granted? You know, when I get to McDonald's, all right, just trying to see how bad people are going to judge me there. You guys can tell me about all the unhealthy characteristics of McDonald's, and I'll agree with you, but those golden fries, there's just something about them, all right? For whatever reason, I somehow watched a YouTube video today of the McDonald's basically showing how it's all natural and really healthy and blah, blah, blah. I still don't believe it, but they're delicious, and I'm going to eat them anyway, all right? Now, if ever in the future I do go onto a health kick and I start preaching against McDonald's, just, you did not hear me say any of this, okay? Because I go through phases where, and I'm sure you guys have done that too, where you're on your health kick and, you know, you're like, McDonald's is sin. And then like a year later, you're like at the McDonald's line, and you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have been so bold about my diet. Yeah, that's me. I've done that for sure. All right, anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. But when I'm in the drive-thru line at McDonald's, you know, there is a little anticipation when I make that order. But I am not really thankful until I put those fries, until I take that burger and put it in my mouth and take the bite, and I'm like, man, that's delicious. I'm so thankful, God, for McDonald's. That's when I become thankful, right? I mean, that makes sense, right? You got it in your hands. Now I'm thankful. But this here is telling us that you shouldn't be thankful when you get it in your hands. It's saying you should be thankful when you make the order. That's backwards. The Bible, if you haven't noticed, tells you to do things backwards. Give, and then it shall be given unto you. You're like, man, I need to pay rent this week, and you're telling me to give. The Bible tells you to do things backwards. It's like God just wants to show you how big he is, that he surpasses your little pea brain mind's thinking of how things are going to happen, and he wants to show himself strong. So he does the opposite. He tells you to do the opposite of what your mind is thinking. You can plan and do whatever you want in the natural, but it'll get there so much quicker if you'll just obey God. Amen? All right, so he's telling us to be thankful when we make the request. Then the thing is, what is there to be thankful for if nothing has happened yet? And this brings us to, I think I'm on my third point that thanksgiving or thankfulness will impact, which is your faith. Okay? When you bring a request before God and then thank him in advance that it is done, that is faith. I'm going to say that again. When you bring a request before God, because right, that's what we just read in Philippians 4, to bring your request before God with thanksgiving. When you bring your request before God and thank him in advance that it's done, that is faith. That's not waiting for that cheeseburger to be in your mouth to thank God. It's difficult to do anyway. But it's thanking him in advance. I know that people have more faith in McDonald's than they do in God many times. They put their order into McDonald's and they know what's coming out. And they have fully believe what they told that machine and that voice comes out, and they fully believe that that is what's coming out of that window when they pull around, right? It should be the same thing with God. When you put in that request, you should be so thankful in advance because you know that it's done. I know that it's done. I mean, is McDonald's word better than God's word? No, right? Man, if I know that I'm standing on God's word, then when I put that request in, I do it with thanksgiving because I know that I know that I know that my answer is coming. That my answer is actually already here and on its way. I'm just waiting to pull it out of that lady's hand as she hands it to me out of that drive-thru window, right? In the spirit. Okay. I know, you got to make things spiritual at church. So, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, in the Amplified, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things that we do, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So thank God for what you're believing for before your senses tell you that you have it. God says to submit your request with thanksgiving. And this is not crazy talk. This is faith talk. To your mind, it's crazy. But to your spirit, it makes sense. And the thing is, with most people, especially in our country, we've programmed our body, we've programmed our mind, but have you programmed your spirit to the Word of God? We feed our body 3 times a day at least. We feed our mind, hopefully. Some people, you wonder. But you feed your mind on a regular basis? Yeah. Do you feed your spirit on a regular basis? Because if you're wondering why your faith doesn't work for you, have you been feeding your faith? Brother Kenneth Hagin, he used to call the Bible faith food. And it's really old and cheesy, but I kind of like that. He would say that when I'm going to read the Bible, he wouldn't say that. He would say, I'm going to feed my faith. Because it programmed his mentality to think that when I go here, it's building my faith. And that's how you have to think of it. That this is to feed my faith and make it strong. So we program our body, we program our mind, we need to program our spirit. So when we make a request with thanksgiving that it's done in advance, it's not being presumptuous or arrogant, as some people might think. It's actually the only way to please God. Hebrews 11:6, for it is impossible to please God without faith. Right? But we must come to him and believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith is, as we read in Hebrews 11:1, it's the assurance that it's done before you even see it in the natural. Did you know that faith was so strongly tied to thanksgiving? Like, thanksgiving isn't just like just a nice thought, that it's just like kind of like a good thing to be thankful for. It's actually tied to your faith being successful. That you thank God. God, I glorify you. I thank you. You're so worthy that as I submitted this request, that, man, you already cooked up the answer in heaven and it's here. Amen? Amen? Yeah. So when you thank God for something that you don't see or have any evidence of a change in your life, you're operating by faith, and that pleases God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purposes. So when you know that every circumstance will work together for good, then you can be thankful in all circumstances. If every circumstance, all right, that's Bible, right? We just read that. That all things work together for good, right? How many things? All things, even bad things. I mean, things that happen. Anything that happens to you, God will work it together for your good if you love him and you're called according to his purpose. Is anybody here called according to God's purpose? Is anybody here love God? Well, then it's going to work out together for good for you. You might not know how. You might not know when, you might not know why, but you know that God is going to work this situation together for my good because his word says so. Amen? Amen? So when you know that, then you can be thankful in all circumstances. Then no matter what comes my way, because you wonder, how can I always be thankful? The Bible says to be thankful always. I think I'm going to read that in a second. But if the Bible says to be thankful always, how is that possible? If I'm in a situation that I don't want to be thankful about, right? Have you ever been there? It doesn't feel like I should be thankful about this. But God is working all things around together for your good. There's a testimony coming your way from this situation. It might look like a trial, feel like a trial, but really what it is it's a testimony in progress. Amen? That God is going to turn that bad situation around for you. So you don't have to be thankful for the bad situation, but you're thankful that God is going to turn it around and that he's going to give you a testimony for that. So now going back briefly, we're in faith, talking about how thankfulness impacts our faith, but going back briefly to emotional wellness, when you make a request with thanksgiving because of faith, you know that it will be done for you. Then you will have peace that surpasses all understanding. You see, we like to quote that scripture, right? And I mean, I've done it myself many times where, like, no matter what, if I'm in a bad situation, I say, thank God that he's given me peace that surpasses all understanding to guard my heart and to guard my mind, right? But you have to do the verse that goes before it, which is to bring your request to God with thanksgiving, with faith. So when I bring my request to God with faith and thanksgiving, now I can have peace that surpasses all understanding because I know that my God is going to work it together for good. I know that my God, by faith, has given me the answer. I know that God will give me what I need. Amen? So it's not just that we're to, like, be in a situation that absolutely stinks and be like, yeah, I'm just at peace with my situation. You shouldn't be at peace with a crappy situation. You should be fed up with it. You should be like, I'm not staying in this situation. This isn't God's lot for me in life. I'm not just supposed to suck at life and have crappy situations all the time. Something should change. It's not saying that you should be at peace with your situation. God will give you peace that surpasses the situation that you're in because you know that by faith and that you brought your request to God with thanksgiving and faith, and that situation is changing in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. So you only get the peace that surpasses understanding when you've done your part, right? Which is bringing the request to God with thanksgiving, with faith. All right, then I said that thanksgiving will affect your Christian witness. All right, so being a thankful person is an attribute of being an effective witness. All right, because we want to reach people, right? We want to reach our family members that aren't saved, our colleagues that we work with, our friends that we know that aren't saved. We want to reach them. If you want to reach those people, you know, it's one thing if you're going to see somebody on the island of Japan and you witness to them and you never see them again. Then you don't need to be a thankful person. But if you want to reach people that are in your life on a regular basis, you got to learn to be a thankful person. Because your life needs to reflect Jesus to people. It needs to reflect this quality of being thankful. So I looked up, what is the opposite of thankful? Critical, ungrateful, unappreciative. Critical, ungrateful, unappreciative, .. In other words, a complainer. Right? I mean, if you were to take those three words, critical, ungrateful, and unappreciative, wouldn't that define a complainer? Right? So if you find yourself as a complainer, then you are not a thankful person. And if you're not a thankful person, then it will affect your Christian witness. The people that you want so badly to reach are going to have a hard time being reached by you. So being thankful is not just something that we take lightly as just like, yeah, I wish I was more thankful, but that's not one of the more important things, so I'll work on that later. No, it's absolutely important. So if your character, even though you might want to reach people for Jesus, your friends, your family, all of those people in your lives, you might want to tell them about your church and how great it is and all that, but if you're known more as a complainer than you are being thankful, then it doesn't matter what you tell them about your church, they're going to see that your lifestyle isn't really reflecting it. And you know, here's the thing, God did at one point use a donkey, all right? So he might use you in spite of you, but in the long run, it'll do you a lot better if you just become thankful, all right? So And God, he works with us, you know? It's not like everyone that gets saved is instantly perfect. So just realize that, hey, if I'm not generally a thankful person, if I like to complain more and be critical and ungrateful, well, then this is an area that I need to start working on in my life. It's not like you're sentenced to hell, but it just means that you got some work to do. And that's okay to know that. It's good to know what you need to work on, right? All right, so now we'll see here how serious the Bible takes thanksgiving or being thankful. Turn with me to Ephesians 5, verse 3. Ephesians 5 and verse 3 says this, but fornication, do you know what that is? It's sleeping around. It's having sex with somebody when you're not married, okay? That's fornication. And all uncleanness, do you guys know what that is? It's dirty, okay? Or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting. All of those things at this point sound pretty serious, right? Pretty bad. And now, here, he's going to give us the counter lifestyle to all of these horrible, wicked deeds, right? Sleeping around, coarse jesting, all this filthiness, uncleanness. Instead of doing all of those horrible, awful things, it says, but rather giving of thanks. Not exactly what you would think that would be there, right? I mean, wouldn't you think that instead of saying giving of thanks, but rather holiness, but rather purity, but rather self-control, but rather any of these other things, but you wouldn't think that it would say, but rather giving of thanks. I mean, fornication is like really awful, uncleanness, dirtiness, coarse jet, all these things. But he says the thing that you need to do instead of those things is be thankful. That's how serious Thanksgiving is. That's how serious being thankful really is. It's not just like a side dish on the gifts of the Spirit. It's not just like, yeah, that's just something that's nice if you're a Christian. You should learn to be thankful. Giving of thanks is a powerful spiritual force. Amen? And then it goes on to say there in verse 15 of the same chapter, Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, when are we required to give thanks? On Thanksgiving Day? Yes. Every other day? Yes, always, every single day, every single moment, in all things, every day, giving of thanks is required of you. So have a thankful heart. You need to ask God, if you don't have a thankful heart, to change you. God, please come change me. Give me a thankful heart. All right, and then Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So, when I looked up the synonym of the word thankful on dictionary.com, the first word that comes up is content, right? If you think about it, it makes sense. The first synonym that pops up when you search for a synonym of the word thankful is content. So now if we were to put that word, thankful, in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be thankful. Think about it. It's basically saying the same thing, to be content and to be thankful. They're synonyms, right? So he's saying there that he's learned the secret that whatever situation I find myself in, whether I don't have a lot, whether I have a little, whether I have a lot, I'm always thankful. That's how important this is. This is Apostle Paul talking here, that he's learned how to be thankful in everything. And he's not saying that you have to stay poor. Paul was thankful in whatever circumstance he found himself. When he was poor, he was thankful. When he was rich, he was thankful. Now, if you were to skip down to verse 18 in Philippians chapter 4, it says, indeed, I have all and abound. So Paul, I mean, people like to use that first verse there, that I've learned to be thankful or learned to be content in all my circumstances, to basically use that as a reason to stay poor. Well, you know, no matter what circumstances you're in, you just should be thankful. If you're poor, just be thankful that God has made you poor. He's not saying that. Otherwise, verse 18 would have never happened. He learned that the key to becoming wealthy is being thankful in whatever circumstance he's in, because he didn't stay poor. He was poor. And while he was poor, he was thankful to God that, hey, one day I won't be poor. Right? I'm thankful that I've been saved, that I have been provided for, that I have food, that I have all these things, even while I don't have a lot, because I know that I'm coming into it. And then verse 18 came along and said, indeed, I have all, I have everything that I need, and abound. You guys like the word abound, right? It means that you have more than enough, that you are blessed. Hallelujah. Which this brings us to thankfulness affects our finances. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. These first verses are very familiar to us, but we're just going to read them to get the context. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart to give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply your seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything. Actually, I'm going to switch over to read that verse in the Amplified Version. We're in verse 10. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increases the fruits of your increase the fruit of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charities. Thus, you will be enriched in all things. Say all things. How many things are you going to be enriched in? In all things and in every way, so that you can be generous. God wants to enrich you so that you can be generous. Why does he want your why does he want you to become generous? Because this, and your generosity as it is administered by us will bring forth thanksgiving to God. Your generosity will cause people to become thankful to God. And then verse 12, for this explains why. For the service that the ministering of this fund renders does not only fully supply what is lacking to the saints, which are God's people, but it also overflows in many cries of thanksgiving to God. So when you give, your giving is going to a ministry that ministry is then able to bring the gospel to people, is able to then bring provision to people, to bring food, to bring whatever the Lord leads that ministry to do, to take care of people. That is what your funds are doing. And it, in the result of your giving, it brings thanksgiving to God from people all around the world as they're ministered to. As a minister goes and prays for somebody, and that person gets healed. As a minister goes and preaches to a crowd of people, and people get saved, people's family members that are coming to the altar and getting saved. As a minister goes out and preaches and someone gets a hold of prosperity and their life is totally transformed, your giving links you to everything that happens through that ministry. Because when you're doing that, as it says there, when he's talking to this church that was giving them this big offering, and that when they got that offering then took care of people's needs, and it resulted in cries of thanksgiving to people, of thanksgiving to God. So don't think of it as just like, yeah, I'm just giving for whatever. No, when you're giving, that is going to result in somebody somewhere crying out in thanksgiving to God. Your giving is linked to people's lives. That as you give, lives are being touched because of that. Amen? Secondly, this. Thanksgiving is linked to multiplication. Both times when Jesus fed 5,000 people and 4,000 people with bread and fish, what did he do with the bread and the fish before he multiplied it? He gave thanks to God. He looked into heaven, he gave thanks to God, and then he broke it and it multiplied. Thanksgiving will result in multiplication of your resources if you become a thankful person. Amen? So I want to encourage you to be a thankful person. And look, let me share one story of my own. Well, I went to Haiti right after I graduated Bible school once, and then I went a second time, and I lived there for 6 weeks, and I was teaching Bible school there. Haiti is not just the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, but it's one of the poorest countries in the world. Extreme poverty. I mean, I was there, I want to say it was like 2012, and the earthquake that happened a couple years before, it looked like nothing had changed because we had gone down there a few months after the earthquake in Bible school, and then I went again like a year or two later, and it was like nothing had changed. It was still, all the rubble was still there. I mean, back after when the earthquake happened, you know, different groups and whatever, they sent down tents and tarps and stuff for people to set up temporary villages. If you go to Haiti today, those temporary villages are still there. The same tents, the same tarps, all that stuff is still there. It's not, people aren't getting any better there, their situation. And the strangest thing was that those people with nothing were so much more thankful than any American I've ever met. It was the weirdest thing. I'm like, you have nothing to be thankful for. You guys live in like rubble. You can't complain about your cable bill because you can't get cable even if you wanted to. They don't have internet. The power, I mean, I was living with the pastor and his place was considered nice compared to like most places. Now, I love the pastor and this is no disrespect to him, but his nice place would be like living in the hood in America. And the power comes on as the government feels like giving people power. They're like, yeah, let's give them lights for a couple hours. Lights are on. You're busy working on something. All of a sudden, lights are off, and you're like, what's wrong? I don't know. They turned the power off. Why? We don't know. They have complete poverty, but they were so thankful for like, they were just happy people. And I mean, like they might be eating rice for like 30 days at a time. And you better believe that on day 31, when they get a bowl of rice put in front of them, they are just thrilled about that bowl of rice. You know, we have so much stuff here in America and we're so blessed, but yet we're so ungrateful about it in general. I'm not talking about you guys here on a Wednesday night, all right? I'm talking about other Americans, okay? Other Americans are so ungrateful about the things they have. But me being there, when I came back, it literally changed my thankfulness for just about everything. I remember driving from... Actually, I'm glad my brother is here tonight because he messed with me so bad. This is hilarious. It's hilarious now. I was so mad at him. The night I flew back from 6 weeks of being in Haiti, and while I was there, nobody spoke English except for like three people that I knew. They speak Haitian Creole there. And most of the time, I wasn't with those three people that spoke English, so I had very little human interaction. No internet, no nothing like that. And so I get back to Tampa International Airport. I get down. You know, I'm so excited to see my brother and whoever else was coming to pick me up. I come down, you know, out to where the car's going to pick me up. And I look around and nobody's there. And like, I call Tim, no answer. I call Brian, no answer. I call a couple other guys, nobody's answering me. I'm like, this is so weird. I'm waiting there 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Nobody comes to pick me up. Finally, this guy, you know, if I was in the world, I would say he was a complete dirtbag and I hated him. But since I'm a Christian, I'll just say he tested my love walk. All right? They paid this guy because they knew how much he bothered me. They paid him to come pick me up and they paid him to come late. And then they made sure that his tank was on E. So when he comes and picks me up, he says, hey, bro, do you have any gas money? Mind you, I've been in Haiti for 6 weeks. Which none of this has anything to do with the story, but it's just the fact that like Tim was a real dirtbag. I was livid. I was so mad. And I was like, I was so bummed. I was so excited to see Tim and everybody. But then by the time I saw them, I was just mad. So it just ruined everything. Anyway, what I wanted to say was that when I got back after those shenanigans, I was just so thankful for everything. You're driving down a smooth road. Now, if you go to Haiti, you'll find out they don't have smooth roads. And their traffic laws are insane. If there's like, you know, two lanes going, you know, one lane going this way, one lane going that way, as soon as there's no cars in the left lane coming this way, everyone just kind of like blends all in. They're all moving this way. You go around a as you're going around any corner, you literally honk your horn the whole time, because if someone's coming around the other way, that's the only way they know you're coming, is you have to honk your horn. Otherwise, you're going to get slammed. I mean, like, every car has like 50 to 100 fender benders on it. You won't find a car without like the whole side just being bashed in and bashed out, because as they're riding, they're kind of like bumping into each other like the whole time. It's absolutely crazy. So I was so thankful when I'm on like a smooth, you know, even if there's a few potholes on the road, like I was just so thankful for it. I was thankful to have air conditioning. And then I was thankful to be in a place where I wasn't being eaten alive by mosquitoes. And here was my theory with mosquitoes. I normally get bit by mosquitoes more than most people. But when I was in Haiti, they took it to another level. No joke. You know, my ankles, the back of my ankle here, it doesn't have any hair on it for some reason. Where I had hair, I had a little more protection. But where I don't have hair, like on this side of my arm, anywhere I didn't have hair, just solid red bumps from mosquitoes. And my theory behind the mosquitoes was they, you know, I was down in Quatre Bouquets, which is just outside Port-au-Prince, and there, I was the only white person that I saw while I was there, except for like a few Christian missionaries that were there doing dental work. They were there to like fix the teeth, not preach the gospel. Anyway, don't get me started on that. But anyway, so I was the only white guy in this whole region. So I figured those mosquitoes got sick of dark meat and they finally saw some white meat and they just went to town on it. I don't know about you guys, but Thanksgiving, I always prefer the dark meat. Anyway, they went to town on me. So needless to say, when I got back to Tampa, air conditioning, off mosquito spray, glory to God. Anything like, you know, we have so many luxuries that very often we don't take seriously, that we take for granted. We need to become people that are just so thankful for everything that we have. And I believe that as we become thankful with what God is giving us, that's the key to our breakthrough, to Him giving us more. Paul learned that the secret to everything was being content, which is thankful in every circumstance. Whether he was poor or whether he had a lot, he was thankful. And then a lot more came to him. Amen? So if you find yourself in a situation where you don't want to be thankful, make yourself become thankful anyway. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. You'll be around a lot of fun family members, many of you. If you don't like the situation you're in, just remember, be thankful on Thanksgiving especially. All right?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.